Hi, it's Hannah Berner.
And Des Bishop.
Thanks for calling the Berner phone.
If you leave a message after the tone,
we may have to make it into a podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Berner Phone. We are still here. We are in New York City. And not to make it about myself and my whole personality this episode, but I am a little under the weather.
This is the Hannah Berner stuffed nose episode. Hannah's got her operator voice on.
It's a new kind of ASMR.
Yeah. You're very ASMR right now.
Thank you.
You're a lot, I think, even closer to the mic than normal. You're really going for the ASMR.
Look, I'm leaning in. And I did have a moment in our relationship today.
Oh.
When
I don't like when you save our relationship conversations for broadcast.
I think it's time. We want to be more, you know, open and expressing ourselves on Berner Phone. I woke up, I was feeling sick, and I blew my nose into a tissue. And it was a certain color.
Well, in your opinion, it was very green.
I said green, but I meant like it wasn't clear. Yeah. I think because my mom's always like, it's green or it's not green. And I said, you know what? I'm at that point in my relationship where I'm going to say, can you look at this?
I think that that's fine. You know, you got to check.
You weren't grossed out.
No, I definitely wasn't grossed out. I mean, I wanted you to cough up the phlegm. I feel like I can get a better gauge on. And you told me that you don't know how to hock a loogie.
I don't know how to hock a loogie. And actually, it's like the only thing that really grosses me out when people do it. I'm always like, don't do it in front of me. And I'm pretty, I don't care about farts. I don't care about any of that. Hawking loogies is disgusting. It's like a demon's coming out of you.
Yeah, it's interesting because that is the life hack of if it's a bacterial infection or a viral infection is if it genuinely is green.
But we got into a fight because I'm saying
we did not get into a fight.
I'm getting in a fight right now. I think that the mucus that would come out in a loogie is the same that would come out in your nose. It's the same systems. I'm a woman in STEM. I know this.
Okay. I mean, you quite possibly are right, but I've always found I get a better gauge on by looking at the phlegm rather than just snot.
But I think phlegm and snot are in the same.
Well, that's a Google. That's a Google, Chris.
Because, you know, the nose is connected to
tailbone. You're possibly 100% right, but I guess I'm just a traditionalist and it's always check your phlegm.
Hawking a loogie takes a certain level of skill and you have to really commit. You have to really let it freely go.
Well, no, I find when you truly have like a chest infection, mm-hmm. There's no effort in hocking a loogie.
Chris has an answer.
I was just, no, I don't. I don't even know what to Google.
You don't even know what to Google?
Like what you Google.
I would suggest.
No, please. All suggestions. Welcome.
Every now and then he Googles something and it comes, he gets things he doesn't want to see.
I would suggest Google, is snot and phlegm the same thing?
Got it.
Please, Chris.
I'm right up.
Yeah, Chris is like, I don't get paid enough for this shit.
No, we actually gave him a warning in advance that we might need his Googling abilities because, you know, it's a life hacks episode. And some of these hacks that came in, I was like, I kind of deliberately waited to find out if they're actually true or not. What's your answer, Chris?
Snot is the substance produced in the nose and sinuses during an infection. Lung phlegm is the good mucus mixed with an inflammatory cells that gives it color. So you tell me what that means.
So that means that there's a difference.
There is a difference.
No, but what I mean is like, sorry, okay. I hope a doctor can clarify, but my take is that I was always told if you want to find out if you have a viral or a bacterial infection, you check your phlegm.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard anyone say check your snot.
It's saying like basically snot is like more of a sinus thing.
Yes.
Phlegm is more of like a nose.
Okay, so I think we're both right.
Yeah, but you definitely have a sinus infection. That's clear as day.
Thank you. Why did I get excited? I was like, I win.
But just
I got something. I don't care what I get. I just want to get it. I'm a pick me girl. Give me something.
Can I just? I'm sorry to interrupt, but can I just say that this is a relationship hack? You should always have like a producer with you to resolve all your relationship issues.
Honestly, yeah, I was so healthy. I think Chris is basically a therapist at this point.
Yeah, because like if I had Googled it, then you would have Googled and then you would have been like, well, look, this came up.
Oh, yeah, I would have been like, no, you Googled to click. Which one did you click? Which article did you click? That's so funny. I do have to say I have a, I think it's the Italian side of my family is very into like when you're sick, they have things to do like take a, when you're sick, you take a shot of whiskey, which that just sounds like alcoholism.
When you're sick, you take a shot of whiskey.
Yeah. Like it's good for your throat.
Oh, right.
That's what my papa
would say. When we were kids, it was if you have a toothache, you put whiskey on a cotton bud.
Yes. So it's like that same kind of thing.
But that's these have been debunked.
They have been debunked.
they have 100%.
Oh, no, I'm sick again. I need more shot of whiskey before I go to work. But then I was with my friend Haley having Italian food. And I was like, Haley, I think I'm getting sick. And we were dipping our bread into olive oil and there were these chunks of raw garlic and she goes, eat the garlic. And I was like, whoa. First of all, my husband has like a real aversion to garlic
breath. We don't, who loves garlic breath?
You know, I think as Italians, I'm not as conscious of it. Like I smell garlic and I go, oh, smells like home.
Okay.
And then, so she was like, you should have this whole clove of garlic. I was like, my husband's going to divorce me. And she was like, do you want to get sick? And I'm like, no. I go, maybe if I don't chew it. So I took these huge cloves of garlic and I just swallowed them like pills.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
It didn't work. You've never been worse.
I'm smelly and sick. Yeah, nah. She was like, you're going to sweat out garlic. And I'm like, oh my God, my husband's going to be so mad at me.
No, it's fine. But, you know, there's a lot of, old wives' tales? Can you even say that about garlic? We don't even need to Google that because we don't even care. We're going into the life hacks, Chris.
Let's do it.
Let's hit it. Let's get to the dialers.
Toaster quesadillas. You put cheese in a tortilla and then you fold it up and then you pop it in the toaster and then it pops out and it's like a quesadilla that you don't even have to use a pan or anything for. And it's crispy and melty cheese.
See, this is the kind of life hack I want.
Yeah, this is what I was hoping for. We got a lot of them.
This enhances your life, okay? I don't want these like things that I'm never going to do anyway. This is like I'm hungry and I want a quesadilla. How do I do it fast and scrumptious?
Now, can we just say, Chris, I need you to Google, is it safe to make a quesadilla in a toaster? Because I think this is an amazing life hack, but I am cautious. Disclaimer, I would be worried that this doesn't work in practice.
Really?
But if we find out now—
Because the cheese might drip?
Yes. And then like your toaster's full of cheese. And then you get that every time you toast anything in the toaster, you get the burning cheese smell compared to your toaster.
Yeah. I do think toasters and toaster ovens can definitely be utilized more for a lot of food. Okay, he's like fully in a Reddit thread right now.
So what's the word, Chris?
I mean, at first it popped up with like a bunch of just like kind of not recipes, but everybody's like, yeah, you got to try this new thing. And then there's, you know, haters on like Quora and Reddit that are like, oh, you're going to put tinfoil inside the microwave?
No, it's not a tinfoil.
Yeah, so just use a little bit of common sense.
Yeah, okay, you so try. Because my concern would be how do you keep it together?
Oh,
you know
a
what I mean?
Staple.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Obviously. But you could just stab it with something.
Yeah. I mean, I this is one that I can't wait to try.
I guess not a toothpick because that could go on fire.
Yeah. So this is one that I definitely. Now, I guess she's saying a pita. So I guess she's not saying a tortilla.
A pita.
Did she say a pita or a tortilla?
She said tortilla.
I can't even have to review the taste.
She said tortilla?
She said tortilla.
Oh, she said tortilla, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my only concern would be, how do you keep the tortilla closed? But otherwise,
or maybe she takes two and just puts them on top of each other.
Yeah, but even still, how do you keep them together?
Gravity.
No, it's a toaster. She didn't say toaster oven. She said toaster.
Oh, I've been envisioning toaster oven the whole time.
Oh, sorry.
That would be good.
Toaster oven.
Just get a toaster oven.
Yeah, okay. In a toaster oven for sure.
Also, when you get older, then you eventually graduate to air fryer. I technically am of that age, but I just haven't done it. But apparently you just throw in shit and it comes out really good.
Yes, get an air fryer was actually a life hack that came through. I didn't put it in. But yes, we need to get an air fryer.
Like, and you could put so many things that are normally not healthy, and you fry it with air. I mean, I don't understand the science behind it.
Well, we don't need to.
That's above our pay grade.
Yeah, this is not how to, you know, learning about technology episode. This is a life hack episode.
Okay, next life hack.
Hi, Hannah and Des. Love the podcast. My life hack is, well, I've used it mostly in relation to like my child, like as a baby and toddler. But really you could apply this to adults too, like your own closet. But my life hack is basically to avoid having to match up socks. It's the bane of my existence. I hate it so much. So for my kid, I've only ever gotten her one kind of sock, one color, one Holy brand, shit. One like height, and like everything. It's only, she has one kind of sock. So all of her socks match. I don't have to spend any time matching up tiny little socks. It's awesome.
This is a game changer for me.
Game changer.
For me. I mean, what? I mean, this, like, why didn't I think of this all my life?
Yeah. I do have to say, I would buy the same, like, Puma athletic socks, and I have a ton of them, but they would be different colors, and my, like, brain would be like, oh, I can't wear the different colors, but sometimes I would. But this is so smart. I mean, obviously the kids grows up, so you have to get, like, bigger socks.
Yeah, but I'm not thinking about our kid. I'm just thinking about myself.
Yeah.
Like, I literally, my mother's big obsession was that, like, every time she came to Ireland, she would have to try to organize my socks.
Yeah.
And then
we have a whole garbage bag of single socks.
Yeah. But then my mom died, and then I got married, and my mother-in-law was like, oh my God, what are you going to do with your socks? I was like, holy shit, it's been reincarnated. Like, the next generation of mom is concerned about my socks. So for the sake of all moms, dead and alive, I am implementing this hack immediately.
But what's so funny is I feel like no one remembers actually ever like getting socks. Like you just have all these socks. Like you don't even know how you got to that point.
Well, I always go, how are they unmatched? Again, I just replaced.
Yeah.
Like I've just bought another batch of socks and they're unmatched again.
There's like a sock monster that goes into your socks.
Yeah. This is literally.
It's a little karmic, I think.
Yeah. This is the way to destroy the sock monster. This is how we eradicate the sock monster.
I do think maybe you did something in a past life that pissed someone off though, because I feel like it's the kind of thing that, you know, when you want your enemies, something to happen to them, but not too bad. Like you're like, oh, I want my enemies to always have like a scratchy tag on their back. Or like, I want my enemies to always never be able to match their socks.
Oh, so you think this is a karmic response to?
Yeah, and it couldn't have been you. It could have been generational. Someone else in your family might have done something.
Yeah, maybe I like bullied a sock puppeteer or something to that effect. I don't know.
But no, yours is particularly hilarious because sometimes I'll be like, okay, we're going to put these socks together.
Not a chance.
Not
because they're in two countries.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Oh, that's why. Yeah. Oh
sometimes God. I get to Ireland. I'm like, there it is. I'm going to bring your mom to Ireland just to give her the satisfaction of being like, oh, the blue and black one. There it is.
I am at this point in my life when I'm realizing though, like everything we do is about buying stuff, especially when you follow more like fashion accounts and stuff. Everything's about, you got to get this, you got to get this. And how life is so much more stressful the more things you have. Like part of me is just like, you only need so many socks.
Oh, amen. You need 9 pairs of socks, 1 pair per day and an auxiliary pair just in case something goes wrong.
Yeah.
More stuff. Even George Carlin has a great routine about stuff.
I am very guilty though of when I need to, I'll just Amazon some more granny panties.
Yeah, that's Amazon.
You can never have too many granny panties.
Amazon has made it worse for not really,
for sure,
you know, being on top of your stuff because you can just get more stuff.
The way I buy granny panties is you'd think I shit myself every single day.
But granny panties is your brand. You have to feed the brand.
I know. I actually want to know. People know that I wear granny panties. I'm not a big fan of thongs. But no one, as my husband, what's your opinion on that thing that I do?
Granny panties?
Yeah.
I've never have a problem with granny panties. You know, at the end of the day, it's all about comfort.
Like a feminist icon.
You know? Listen, I'm in for half.
This is how I know thongs are not comfortable, because if thongs were comfortable, men would wear them. If thongs were more comfortable than normal underwear, everyone would be wearing thongs.
Yeah. I mean, if I had a great ass, I might try to have a thong, but it's not, you know.
No, but like why? I have a great ass and I'm not. Walk, you still hide it under your pants. Why do I need to have a thong under my pants? Some little secret?
Amen. You know, I'm. You're not going to get any pushback on granny panties from me. You know,
yeah.
So go granny.
Thank you. Hashtag
in
go
fact,
granny.
I don't know how you haven't had a deal from a granny panty company yet.
It's crazy.
You know,
if you're ever in a bad mood or like you're having a bad day and you have to like go go to work or like go out and do something you just don't want
every day.
Literally just masturbate. I swear to God, those 3 minutes, all your problems are gone. Nothing worse. Like, there, you have literally no worries. Like, you're having so much fun. You're going out. What worries? What problems? They don't exist.
Chris, are you saying three as in like we're only three in and we're already on masturbation?
No, she said 3 minutes for masturbation. I just thought that was funny. She's efficient as fuck about it.
You've never made a go come in 3 minutes. You just exposed yourself.
Oh, yeah. Amen, though. You know, amen.
It is true, though. Like, alone, girls can make themselves come so fucking fast. I can make myself come with my own brain. I just came.
Yeah, I mean, listen, literally with women, it's kind of like, you know, guys fucking killing it, and women are just like, give me that.
No, because you're trying to come while battling all the things he's doing to make you not come. I do think what she's saying is not that wild, though. As in, whenever you're depressed or down, they always say, like, change your mindset in some way, whether it's going for a walk, whether it's taking a shower, or masturbating. I think it's legit.
No, I left this in because I think that masturbation is the cure of so many problems in the world.
But when men masturbate, don't you get like sleepy after?
Lisa, there's so many times where a man should just jerk off and that would save him so many problems. Because a man, for whatever reason, evolutionarily, perhaps, gets overly motivated by their sexual desire and it is wiped out. It's literally like Control-Alt-Delete for the male brain. So choke one out, and then boom, you're fresh. You're like you're back in the game of not solely focused on that thing.
What kind of events in a man's life should they choke one out beforehand?
I
think before a date.
I mean, it really depends. You know, some people say choke one out before a date because then you won't be like overly desperate, you know. But then at the same time, you know, if you choke one out before a date and it ends up being like a date that escalates quick to the bedroom, you know, you don't want to, you know, you want to make sure that you still have, you know, a peak desire.
Sperm.
Yeah. I think more it's like when you're about to drunk text somebody.
Oh yeah. You know? You're missing an ex.
Yeah. That's a great time to choke one out.
Yeah.
You know,
you don't actually miss them. Your body just needs an orgasm.
Or like you're thinking maybe I'll just go to like a strip club, choke one out. You won't go, save yourself a lot of money.
If,
you know?
Yeah. If you're thinking of, you know, doing something violent.
Well, I was trying to keep it lighthearted, but
if men jerked off more, I dealt with one guy and I wasn't in a relationship, but I was seeing him who was an athlete, who had this idea in his head that if he jerked off too much, he would be tired for competing.
Yes, I've heard athletes have that before.
He was a track runner. Yeah. And he was like a sprinter. And he was so normal. And then we kind of started kissing and he got this like crazy look in his eye. Like, I was like, what the fuck's going on? And he's like, sorry, I haven't came in like 4 months. And I was like, oh my God, you're like a loaded gun. Like, it freaked me the fuck out. And I never talked to him again. But it's like, there's some kind of science where like your testosterone levels need to be like constantly like flushed out of you.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard the athletes thing, you know, but I don't know if it's true or not. But what about women?
Well, I was going to ask a question because women, you know, masturbating is not something we talk about. And like a lot of women don't masturbate until later in life. Like a lot of my friends like started masturbating in like college.
Yes.
Where men will start at like 11. Men will start before they could even actually ejaculate. And I was fascinated by that. I would always ask my guy friends, like in high school, I'd be like, so you guys like masturbate? Like, how often do you masturbate? And they'd be like, well, you know, like 3 times a day, like whatever. And then I thought it was interesting to see like how it changed over time. Because girls, it's not part of our life. What happens to me is like, it's like an itch where like out of nowhere, you'll be like, oh shit, I think I should do this. But it's like, I never plan it. I'm never like, oh, can't wait to go home and masturbate. Yeah. I'll literally be like sitting down and something will happen or a wind will hit a certain way. And I'll be like, oh, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think a little bit of that is the cultural women weren't as open about it. So they weren't clear.
Yeah, we don't talk about it to each other.
Yeah.
But oh, I think
it's one of the great revolutions of modern time, the openness about women masturbating, because it's a game changer for women.
But it still needs so much more. Like, I don't talk to my friends about masturbating. I mean, I got Paige her first vibrator, and it's, she said it changed her life. And that was it. She was 26, you know?
I used to have a routine about it that, you know, I would ask women, do you masturbate? And they'd be like, no. And I'd be like, why not? Like,
because it seems like it's a freaky, like, self-indulgent thing you're not supposed to do.
And all the sex therapists, all the sex stuff says that you'll have a better chance of having an orgasm with somebody else if you masturbate.
Yes.
If you figure out what works for you.
Yes. So a lot of guys, if you're hooking up with a girl who hasn't masturbated, it's two people lost, you know, in the dark. No one knows what's going on or how to do it. And that's why it's difficult.
Yeah, you have to know your jam.
But
in terms of the life hack, how do you feel? Because guys for sure have like a mental shift immediately after they come. How do you feel about this life hack for a woman? Because that's what she's saying is masturbate, you know, you'll relax. Everything will reset.
It's funny because sometimes like if I'm like stressed about something, I'm not turned on. Like it's harder for me to be like, okay, now I need to like mentally get turned on by something. It's not as easy where I think a guy could,
right,
could just like jerk it off. I think women, we have to be more of in a mindset of like feeling sexy. Like I have to feel sexy to come.
Right. I think we're going to try this as an experiment. The next time you're stressed, I'm going to be like, okay, why don't you just go to the room?
Well, it's funny because it's like, you know, when you get in an argument.
Well, then like, I guess we could just have sex.
Yeah. I love it. You're like, next time, why don't you just go in the other room and I'll lock you up and make you just keep orgasming by yourself.
go to your room.
Come back when you feel better because I'm not going to help you. That was the most marriage shit ever.
Well, you know, obviously we're having a laugh because it's based on this hack, but that would be fun. But I, as an experiment, I think it'd be a good experiment.
And then some couples get weird though if like you find out your husband was like watching porn and jerking off. But there's a lot of times where like you're stressed and like your husband's like, hey, you want to have sex? And you're like, no. No.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a good life hack. I really do think that masturbation is a good release for a time.
Do you think most men masturbate a similar amount of time?
I have no idea. I think when you're younger, you masturbate a lot. And when you're older, you get into your head that you want to save it. keep the energy up, you know?
Chris, are you in saving mode yet?
I feel like I'm transitioning, maybe.
Chris is like, oh shit, maybe I should be smarter.
I need to start saving it up, bro. No, I'm just kidding. Are we good on that?
Yeah, fascinating.
Fascinating. I mean, you know, sorry, the last thing I'll say is I did have a routine about consent and about that actually. We don't talk abruptly enough about consent and men and their sense of entitlement in situations where they're having like a sexual encounter with a woman. And that actually, very practical life advice for young men, particularly in situations where they're having like a hookup, which is if you know, the woman has clearly expressed that she's comfortable up to a certain point, mm-hmm. and then at the end of that point, and then that's when the blue balls things come up and all that, that actually what men should be told is at that moment where she has expressed a desire to stop there, that you just immediately go to the bathroom and choke one out. And literally everything will change.
I honestly, thank you for saying that, because I feel like the world would be a better place, because just because you're turned on and she's turned on doesn't mean you have to go in her.
I say a blown load is a smarter man. Like literally, you know, women are always like, men are dumb. And it's true. But a man is a 25% smarter the second after he's blown his load.
And that's girl math.
That's girl math. And that's girl math. Listen to Burner Phone every Wednesday, sometimes Thursday, sometimes Friday.
Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck, then access up to $100 a day as you work. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. You may have a special night out, a last minute gift, the holidays can get expensive, an unexpected trip to the vet, maybe rent is due, you want to get a new dress, school clothes, who knows why you might need that extra cash. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability, security, and it gives me a peace of mind. We love a peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Burner Phone under podcast. When you sign up, it'll help the show. Burner Phone under podcast, subject to your available earnings location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Hey, Hannah. Hey, Des. My life hack is something that I read in the New York Times, aka saw on TikTok, and it is to be cringe is to be free. I've been living my life by this ever since I saw it. I can't remember who the creator is, so I wish I could give her credit. I'm probably living my life by that right now, being cringe. And this is my second time recording this because I wanted to sound cool. Okay, bye.
I love that. Okay. I think that my superpower is it takes a lot for me to get embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a lot of other emotions. I feel shame. I feel a lot of things, but embarrassment is something I don't have. I think my dad's also like that. And it's a power that you're like, oh, wait, I don't have certain fears that other people might have. And I always tell people, you know, thinking about what other people might think of you or thinking other people think you're not cool, whatever, is the first reason why a lot of people don't chase what like their dream is.
Yeah. And I think that the modern society's immediate journey to cringe as mm-hmm. as a way to express a feeling is actually blocking off a lot of like experience of like, there might be something in this. You need to get past cringe.
Mm-hmm.
Cringe is like an immediate reaction. But beyond cringe, like she says, is freedom, or also is like learning about things that you might thought you were uncomfortable with that are actually like either hilarious or mm-hmm. entertaining.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, it's a social construction for what is cringe. What's cringe now might have not been cringe 20 years ago. Like, yeah, it's all made up.
Yeah, cringe, let's face it, cringe has become the weapon of the troll.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, it's not cringe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just want to make people think that there's something not great about this. But in actual fact, it's not cringe. You're limiting your life.
And also you have to realize if cringe means like you're not good at what you're doing or you're trying to do something you're not that good at, everyone started as cringe. I've been cringe in so many things.
Yeah.
The best comedian, the best athlete had to go through the cringe period. And if you can't get through the cringe period, and also you can change it in your head to be like, this isn't fucking cringe. This is me starting something new. And yeah. So many people are afraid to be bad at things.
Yes.
Embrace being bad at it.
Beyond cringe is paradise. Cringe is literally the door to heaven.
Yeah.
Cringe is the stairway to heaven.
Also being cringe, like even if you are just period cringe, is like so relatable.
Maybe that should be the name of your special. Cringe is freedom. Anyway, that's a motivator for anyone who's limited by cringe.
I think once you become self-aware of the cringe, like my dad would always joke like, oh, you had an awkward interaction. Wow, that happens every day.
Yeah, that's life.
And once I embraced it and was like, yeah, I have awkward interactions and it became funny, then like nothing could get to me. I'm like, oh, I had an awkward interaction. I'm not scared.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. You know, I mean, I think that has a lot to do with, social media. It's like you need to actually just be comfortable with the cringe.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of really talented creators that will tell me, I'll be working with them. They're like, oh, you're just going to post that? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, I overthink everything I post. And I'm like, because it just hurts you. Overthinking and judging what people might perceive or not perceive as cringe. Also, people are perceiving you through their own lens of their own experiences that you can't control. And something one person thinks is cringe, other people think is the greatest thing they've ever seen.
Exactly. Freedom.
I'm very opinionated on that.
Hey, Hannah. This is Mark. Huge fan. And this isn't the biggest life hack ever, but for the petty communicators such as myself in the world, this has actually been pretty fun. So if you are messaging somebody with an iPhone and you're using iMessage, so the messages are blue. If you hold down, you normally have the option to unsend. And that's typically only if they haven't read the message yet. So you can kind of have low-key red receipts if you just tap on the message that you sent. If unsend is a option, if that's an option, then they haven't seen it yet officially, like they haven't opened the message yet. But if unsend is not an option, then they absolutely have seen it and they're ignoring your ass.
Nice.
Okay, that's
love your stuff. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, King.
That's a good, that's a real life. That's also the type of life hacks I was looking for.
Wait, Chris, did you submit that? Your voice sounds just like that. Hey, it's Mark. Because I was like, no men listen to me.
Why were you mouthing that life hack as it was coming out?
No, shout out to Mark. I love Mark. Thank you for listening to me. I'm obsessed with you. I will protect you at all costs. I love a man who supports women in the arts. It's so great because so many lives have been ruined by a text to the wrong person.
Oh yeah. Well, being able to unsend it, number one, is a thing.
People don't talk about it enough.
Because I think you used to not be able to. I think it's an update.
It's new, but it is good of him to explain. If you can't do it, it means they saw it.
Yeah, which is that's real good because people that don't have read receipts, you want to know. This is particularly good, obviously, in like the new, maybe like slightly obsessed stage of like you've met somebody new and you're not sure if they're like into it or not.
Oh my God. In my early 20s, I had a traumatic moment where I was texting someone new. We were like into each other. And I was with all my guy roommates and I started talking about him my voice memo was on and I look down and I see like a 2-minute voice message that got sent to him.
A voice message?
A voice message.
Not a translation, not a note.
A full voice message.
Oh my God.
Of us talking. And I didn't say anything bad, but I was like talking about like some nickname he calls me and we're laughing about it. It wasn't bad, but it's embarrassing. Someone knew you talking about that. Yes. Like it's a nightmare. And then I guess he was working that night and he didn't respond for 4 hours. It got to the point where like I was at the bar with my friends, like, you know, like I fully accepted the relationship was over. I was like, it was fun while it lasted. You know, it was a good time. I'm single now, back on the streets. And then he ended up responding and was like, oh, he was just like confused.
Did you say in advance, like, sorry, that was an accident?
I think I texted and I was like, oh, sorry. Like, he didn't respond for like 4 hours.
Because you have to be like, don't listen to that. It's an accident. You know, just erase that.
And I think he just wrote like, LOL. At the end of the day, if a guy likes you, he doesn't care. But like I thought he read it and was like, this girl's fucking crazy. And then just like didn't respond. But we ended up dating for a while.
But you know, when you're in that situation where you're like, you really like somebody and you text them and then they don't respond and you need, you know, like you're in like denial, right? You're like, oh, they haven't seen it. But like, how long can you go before you go, they've seen it and they're ignoring me? So this is a nice way to know because it'll drive you insane.
The one thing I don't miss about dating is those early like text exchanges. And I always joke that there's always that moment where you send the risky text, which is like, whether it's like you show a little too much personality, like maybe you're making fun of them or you do something and then you wait to see if they're going to like latch on. And all I have to say for all the girlies and guys who are going through that right now, people don't remember what you say. They remember how you make them feel. And if it's meant to be, it doesn't matter what the fuck you texted them. And sometimes people are busy. That's a difficult thing in New York City. Like sometimes you're like, he's busy. And then sometimes it's been like 2 months.
Yeah.
Like you can't keep saying that he lost his phone, you know?
All I'm saying is that if the next text should never be question mark.
What is funny though is you've dated during a time where people did not have phones. Like they didn't have cell phones.
Yeah.
And you've also dated with cell phones. Like that's crazy. I've only known dating with cell phones.
Oh my God. Well, like I have a lot of routines about it. You have to call the fucking house phone. When I was a teenager, I had to fucking like ask the dad, like, hello, is Sarah there?
No, that's crazy. Part of me in my head is like, oh, these guys must be like now with all the options, like men who didn't have that must be jealous that like, oh, you could just swipe and find people. But back then it was much easier to cheat, I would say. Because right now you just look at a guy's Instagram and you're like, who'd you just follow? Like it's so easy to track guys cheating now, where back then like there was no evidence being left around.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely more evidence, but then I guess social media also gives you a higher chance to meet
yes.
people. So yes. it's a, I'd say that'd be a nice analysis. The history of cheating. That'd be a good book, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, cheating throughout the generations.
It kind of reminds me of like murder, like serial killers. Like,
yeah, it's a lot harder to kill.
It's easier to get away with it back then. But there's a lot more options nowadays.
Yeah, well, it was definitely easy to get away. The problem now is that because there's so much true crime that everyone's a fucking investigator. So, you know, Netflix is out there being like, when is somebody, we're running out of documentaries. How are we going to get a serial killer that knows how to work the internet? And it hit me.
My best life hack is if you're walking around the city or you're traveling somewhere and you need to use the bathroom, walk into pretty much any hotel lobby and use their bathroom. They're not going to ask you if you're a guest or look into it. They probably won't even notice you.
That is very smart. It is how you like carry yourself. Like if you look confused or like sketchy or weird, they'll be like, hello. But if you just look confident, like you know where you're going, that's a lot of apartment buildings too.
I really feel I know this hack. I learned this hack. It's very important in New York because in New York, it's very hard to find a bathroom. It's insane how protective establishments are of their bathroom.
Even Starbucks.
It's like you never had to take a piss,
well,
you know?
You do those things where you're like, okay, we're going to go shopping. We're going to be out for a couple hours. And then my immediate reaction is, oh shit, if I drink anything or eat anything, where am I going to go?
And Starbucks are fine. Starbucks will allow you to pee. The problem is there's always like a line of like 10 people.
There's a line of 10 people or they go, oh, we're out of order. They do that a lot.
Yeah, Barnes and Nobles used to be the spot, but now there's no bookstores. That's the other thing. What they don't realize is the internet didn't just kill bookshops. It killed the toilets in bookshops. There's a lot of residual.
Oh my God. The Barnes and Nobles in Union Square, I would go second floor. I would fucking live in that bathroom.
Now that still exists, I believe.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
so that is a spot.
Yeah.
But, or like, you know, McDonald's have like codes and you have, so anyway. The lobby hack is a great hack because not only are you going to be able to use the bathroom, but it's going to be so nice.
But what's hard also with these New York City coffee shops, if you go to not a Starbucks, it's kind of intimate and you feel like you have to buy something. And then the croissants are $14.
Yeah.
And or a latte is $8, $9, $10. If you get oat milk, $16.
If you go to a coffee shop and they're like, the bathroom's out of order, it's like, you're literally selling a laxative. Like, yeah. I'm going to drink this coffee. I'm going to need the bathroom.
No, so many times they don't. And that's illegal. But like, obviously you're not going to like do an, you're not going to full care in it and be like, I'm calling 311.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe we need to call 311 on these establishments. But anyway, go for lobbies, man. Go for lobbies.
Really smart.
Like big ass Hilton in the middle of New York, like up near Times Square. Like yeah. Times Square is like a nightmare place to need to go for a piss. Hotels everywhere.
Yes.
But always go for 4 and 5 stars. Don't go to like the, you know, don't go to like, you know, one of those 3 stars that are like nice, but like they don't have like a proper lobby. You need to go like the Four Seasons.
Mm.
Like the higher level, the less chance they're going to say something to you.
That's
because
so
you could
funny.
Be like a billionaire's son.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So go as high as possible. Go to the Plaza for a piss.
Plaza for a piss. That's the name of your next special.
Yeah.
Hey, Hannah and Des. Big fan and longtime giggler. My life hack is something that I actually heard on an ADHD podcast and I gave it a shot and it worked. So the life hack is that anytime you have to get something done, for me specifically, like doing laundry and dishes and just like house chores is when I do this, I put shoes on. I don't know what it is, but it triggers something in my brain that prevents me from like going and laying down on the couch and getting lost scrolling on TikTok. And yeah, if you're somebody that also struggles with ADHD or anything along those lines, I would highly recommend just giving this a shot. Love you guys.
This is good. Love you too. This is a big struggle for me, huge. But I would argue that getting the shoes on is a struggle. Like me deciding to go to the gym, it's like a whole 5-hour like fucking chorus play musical with ups and downs and plot lines because I get so distracted. It's very hard to even put your shoes on.
So, but this is the thing. I think the life hack is that you don't think about what you're going to do. You just put the shoes on. And that seems to be some sort of like neurological shift that happens
yes.
that will make the next decision easier.
Yes. But that's kind of like waking up in the morning. You always tell me like, just wake up. But I'm in my head and I'm like, well, if I wake up, then I have to do this and I have to do that.
You just have to get out, though. You just have to do the next thing. Now, by the way, the reason why I left this in is this came in like 10 times. Like this life hack
going around.
Yeah, this came in a lot. And yeah. So this seems to be an effective life hack for a lot of people.
I wonder if Crocs count because I'm wearing Crocs.
By the way, another life hack coincidentally enough came in about getting out of bed, like you just said.
Oh my God, I need it.
Which is basically when the alarm goes off, you just get up. Don't press snooze. The alarm goes off, you say 1, 2, 3, up, and you get up. That's it. You just do it.
See, I do that when like I have to be somewhere or like I was going to be late to practice. But I think I did it so much that I get off on the idea of not having to do that anymore.
Yes, but you have to choose when you need this life hack. That's a different.
Yeah, I don't have a problem getting up when I need to be somewhere. It's more like a typical day.
I'm going to try the shoes on thing.
Yeah.
You know, because I think basically it's like a trick.
You going to do some chores today?
It's a trick. You know, we'll see if the trick.
Now we're going to start being like, babe, you want to put your shoes on? Hey, that outfit look a lot better with shoes on.
This is personal.
Oh, you're putting your shoes on? You ready to do the dishes?
I'm only talking to Hannah. Excuse me. I don't think putting the shoes on is going to get you to do the dishes. I think. I'm speaking for myself. I'm going to try it as a life hack for myself.
I'm so excited for you to do chores today.
So my best life hack is something that my mother taught me. I am now a 34-year-old woman with a husband and two children. And she was like, sweetie, you don't ever actually have to really clean your house. Just like 5 minutes before your husband walks in the door, spray Pine Sol in front of the front door and he'll always think that you just cleaned the house. And I have been doing that for the last decade. My husband and I have been married for almost 10 years and I will occasionally just spritz some Pine Sol in front of the front door before he comes home. He'll be like, did you clean today? And I'll be like, oh, I deep cleaned the house today. And then he'll give me a back massage and he never fucking knows the truth.
What a
best life hack from my mother.
I have so many questions.
It's amazing. Also, I love you, Hannah Berner. That's all.
Oh my God, love you. Kiss you on your forehead. What if you're secretly poisoning your husband? Like he's been consuming so much Pine Sol that he starts to like be like, oh, I feel really fucking sick. That's amazing.
This is a great life hack.
But
this
also,
is one of those life hacks that like...
It wouldn't work for us though because our house is
no,
so
because
messy.
Because if I smell Pine Sol, I'd be like, Hannah, what's the matter? What's happening?
No, her house
I'd be
is
like,
clearly
Hannah's
like,
having a manic episode.
Her house is clearly like well-kept enough that like... If it smells good, it's like, oh, you deep clean.
Yeah, well, this is the whole thing. It's like, if Hannah did that, I'd be like, but Hannah,
there's shit everywhere.
Shit everywhere. And
there's garbage all over the ground.
Why are there dried Platanos still on the coffee table?
Why does the old Italian food smell like Pine Sol? That is so funny, but that's good.
I mean, I when I made the Des Bishop Work Experience, you know, documentary series about living on minimum wage, one of the scenes that everyone still to this day brings up to me was I was working in a hotel and I had to vacuum the stairs and I just didn't want to vacuum. So I was just taking my fingers and like rubbing them along the carpet to make it look like,
oh my God,
they'd been vacuumed.
So you took as much time just moving your fingers.
Yeah, literally, but it was like a F you to the man of like, yeah, okay, so you think I'm doing my job, but I'm not. But it's a similar type of life hack.
This is giving just like put all the clothes in the closet and shut the door, put it under your bed, shut the door. That's my kind of shit.
Amen. Amen.
Hi, Hannah and Des. Love you guys. This is such a great prompt question, and I, like any normal, intelligent person would do, went straight to TikTok for my answer. And after scrolling for 3 hours, I realized that that is the answer. Just TikTok itself. The amount of things I've learned off of it is unmatched. Anything you need to know, search it up. Not only does it tell you what to do, but it shows you. You know, it's not 2008 anymore. No one needs to watch a 12-minute YouTube video on how to change a spare tire. You know, my brother and sister both just had new babies, obviously not together, but like, how do you change a diaper? You search it up on TikTok. What do I want to eat for dinner? Search it up on TikTok. You know, the Emily Mariko Salmon Bowl literally changed my life. So kind of basic, but sometimes the best things are. So TikTok, it's got to be the greatest life hack.
Not basic. It's our things that are mainstream work for a reason. I'm a very visual person. So like if I'm reading an article about how to do something, it's never going to be like, I'm not going to retain it.
Yes.
So like I've learned so much about makeup and fashion, and I haven't really cooked anything or cleaned anything, but TikTok is everything. But I do have to say, there is a lot of misinformation too on TikTok. Like when you actually try to Google something, like an answer for something, or like sometimes these therapy TikToks get fucking crazy because I'll get on an algorithm. I'll be looking at something about ego or something. And the next thing you know, people are saying like wild shit, and you forget that like just because it's online and it's a person looking at you speaking doesn't mean that they know what they're talking about.
Well, yeah, the level of importance in terms of the advice, you need to increase your skepticism when it gets into like, you know, serious life issues.
For sure.
But like she's talking about like simple dishes.
Changing
a car. Because it is true. Like sometimes I'll go on YouTube to like find out. And there is like a long video. It's like, hey, it's Jack here with my, you know, life advice. And you got to deal with like the subscribe to my channel.
Yeah, subscribe to my channel. I love you guys.
You know, and then you try to fast forward and then you're like halfway through. It's like, oh, I got to go
miss
back.
The
yeah,
detail.
So it's
that is
although
so
I have
true.
To say I have a lot of respect for people that like take, like sometimes coincident enough, you're like some IKEA furniture and then you'll put in the name, like QX724 ISBN number. And then some dude has like taken time out of his life.
It has 200,000 views.
Yeah, to take time out of his life to show you. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
TikTok is definitely, sometimes I will just watch people like cleaning on TikTok. Because I won't do it, but it's nice to see like what it would be if people cleaned. And then some people I think will be like, I'm not going to clean unless I film myself cleaning for a cool video to see a transition. But then there's some people who are, it's fucking fake. And like, they're trying to make it look like they live this perfect life. Like, oh, how to have an amazing morning routine. It's like, bitch, you don't do that. You just want to get a couple likes because you have a cool aesthetic in your bedroom.
It is weird, the stuff that you get into on TikTok. I have gotten into drain clearing, and also like this gardener guy.
You get drain clearing too?
I just had to clear the drain over there.
Oh, I thought it was like on your TikTok algorithm.
No, like so they put it on a time lapse of like clearing out this drain, and like, you know, and then also this guy that puts on time lapse, he'll go to like old people's houses whose like gardens have gotten overgrown and be like, hey, can I clean your garden?
Yeah.
And then he's like a quick time lapse, and yep. I'm like, I can't so stop satisfying. Watching. I can't
it's
stop.
Sad. It's very satisfying.
It's very satisfying.
I once wasted 35 minutes of my life watching this person on TikTok. They go live and they take an egg and they take tweezers and they peel the
the hard-boiled egg?
No, not hard-boiled egg, like a real egg, and they peel the shell, but they keep the like schmegma. I don't think schmegma was the right word.
Yeah, you want to know what schmegma is? Because it's a real thing.
Semen.
No, it's the cheesy residue on a penis.
I say schmegma is also like sleep in your eye. Like you have some schmegma on your eye.
But I think schmegma is officially. You want to
is
Google
it
schmegma?
Is it
No, schmegma is like a real word.
Oh, that's exactly. What it's, I don't have to.
It's the cheesy residue left on a uncircumcised penis.
Okay, can you Google that? Because I think that's
okay.
I don't think women use schmegma same term.
Well, you know, I mean, schmegma's. Go ahead, hit me.
Oh, God, this description is rough. Smegma is the thick, white, cheesy substance that collects under the foreskin of the penis.
Sorry, Anna. I'm sorry, Anna. You've been misusing schmegma.
I've been saying schmegma all over town.
You've been misusing schmegma.
I've literally been like, oh, you got some schmegma on your face. I almost called my firstborn Schmegma. I'm like,
this is Schmegma. I don't think she's been speaking Yiddish.
Oh my God.
I thought it was like I'm Schwitzen.
I mean, honestly, there could be anything less Yiddish than Schmegma because it's literally for uncircumcised men. It could be less Yiddish. Hannah's happy she got her clip.
Thank you. Next.
Now she can finally relax. All right. Okay, we got to go quick now because we're running out of time.
Hi, Hannah and Des. Love you guys. Okay, this might sound a little mean and a little selfish, but my best life hack is to date a person who hates or just does not really like their parents. Personally, I am very close with my parents, and I know that when you are dating somebody, you have to split up the holidays between your families, but if you date someone that does not really get along with their family, or maybe doesn't have a family, it just makes the holidays a lot easier because you can just spend the whole holiday season with your family. All right.
Obviously, I left this in
People ask me about our relationship all the time, and I go, look, the fact that his parents are dead is sad, but it really makes things quite easy.
Sad but convenient.
Sad but very convenient. Also, when they do hate their parents, I do have to find, sometimes obviously it causes issues internally and whatever, but and they're in therapy, whatever. They have to work on stuff. And everyone has issues with their family, but sometimes it's good drama. I like the my aunt, uncle drama. Like, what did they do this time? Because you're not invested and it doesn't affect them that much.
Yeah.
I love a good person with a little enough family drama. And then you get to kind of take their side always. You're like, is that fucking aunt being a cunt again?
Yeah, man. That keeps my – I have 14 first cousins. I have 14 first cousins. And
there's always something going on.
Yeah, and they're all we're all dysfunctional. So mm-hmm. it's very entertaining.
Yeah, I get the names mixed up sometimes, but I'm like, what did Stevie do?
Cousins are the best because it's like you love hanging out with your family, but you don't have the same level of obligations. Like my cousins aren't calling me up being like, I can't believe you're not coming.
Yeah.
Whereas my mother been like, you have to come. You know?
Yeah.
That would have been drama.
Yeah. It's just some healthy family gossip that if you're a couple steps removed is – honestly, it keeps life fun.
Yeah, come on. Emotionally healthy people are so boring. Hit me. Let's get a few of these in before we run out of time.
Okay, this is my life hack. I actually read this on a random Facebook comment on one of those posts that has 10,000 comments. But anyways, some lady said that the solve for mosquito bites is to put Dawn dish soap on them. And I swear by this now.
Wow.
And I've tried to find proof that some hack like this exists on the internet, but I have not found anything. And all I do is take a tiny little drop on my finger and just dab it on the mosquito bite. And I swear it makes it go away so much faster. And the swelling is nowhere near as intense. And chef's kiss. I would tell everybody now, but it works.
I need to know. I need to know if this is true.
Because I've been living by the cross method that doesn't work, where you take your nail and you stab it and you do the cross and you pray to St. Anthony. The truth is it feels good for 1 second. And then it itches again.
Yeah. You just, so Chris?
One of the things that I see here is that it helps clean up some of the bug saliva before it triggers your immune response. So that might be the reason why it actually works.
That's interesting.
Bit of science behind it.
I wonder if it helps with a bee sting. When I first heard that when you get a jellyfish sting, someone has to pee on it, that seemed made up.
But I think that might be true because I think it has to do with the acid.
Has anyone checked if you pee on a mosquito bite?
Oh. This is how golden showers came about.
This just sounds like I'm trying to get someone to pee on me.
Chris has been busy today.
Chris is fucking working his little butt off.
So here we go.
The way that this starts isn't just for the jellyfish thing. It just says quite simply no. There is no truth to the myth of being
so
a
you
jellyfish.
Know, so you know, a pervert came up with that one.
Because there's been a lot of people that have been peeing on me whenever I get a jellyfish sting. That's crazy.
I got a jellyfish sting. You need to pee on me. Why are you jerking off? that helps too. Anyway, I left that in because I wanted to know. Let's jump through a couple more.
I'm very surprised that men have not been like, semen does help with a jellyfish. a mosquito bite.
Yeah, semen gets rid of wrinkles. I don't know.
They do say semen is good for your skin. I don't know if this is
a hack
or a life hack, but I just believe so deeply in the power of a bidet. I just think wet wipes are so outdated. Also, they ruin your plumbing. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm married to a plumber. So I know that when you flush a wet wipe, it can cause a pandemonium.
Oh.
So avoid all of this. Buy yourself a bidet. They have them for $50 on Amazon. And wash your butt instead of just wiping it. It's just not enough if you want to feel real clean. But also be careful because you can get UTIs with a bidet. So be careful. But still, get a bidet and wash your booty because honestly, wipes and toilet paper are just not doing it for me. And then what? You're going to put a nasty wet wipe in the trash can? No, you're going to flush it. And then guess what? Your plumbing will get ruined. And then my husband will have to go and fix it. And then he gets home too late. So that's my life hack.
Honestly, plumbers, like, that is a fucking manly job.
That's
like,
a great.
That's hot.
Marry a plumber. That's a life hack.
That is the life hack. But I love how she so casually was like, you will have UTIs for the rest of your life.
So you want a block toilet or a UTI? You decide.
But it is true because you're very adamant about do not put the wet wipe in the toilet. So I'm so scared of it. But babe, admit, it is gross if you almost should wipe first with toilet paper and then finish it up with the wet wipe, because you don't want wet wipes full of poop in your trash.
Yeah, no, but that is what you do.
Okay.
That is what you do.
Yeah.
But I really, Aiden, my brother, I've mentioned this before, but he is really—
Calling him out.
No, but he's adamant about the washing your butt thing. Like, it's just so much nicer.
Someone once said that if you don't use a bidet, it's like brushing your teeth without ever flossing. Someone said that to me. But my thing is, that takes admin to put a bidet together. Are you going to put your sneakers on and put in a bidet today?
No, but I think that there's like, you can get you can get these like portable things.
There's a thing, Tushy, I used to use.
Yeah, so I mean, I think this is a good life hack. But the reason why I left it in is because it's really important that you do not flush wet wipes. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. There is no such thing as a flushable wet wipe. They say flushable, but they are lying. That should be like one of those commercials. You know, these, like, it should be brought up as false advertising. There's no such thing as a flushable. Obviously, they can say, well, you can flush it, but it's not good.
What is it called? A full action lawsuit? What's it called?
A class action lawsuit.
Be like, have you been lied to about wet wipes and had to pay for plumbing for years?
Yeah, but New York City, the city could take a class action lawsuit against these flushable wet wipes because they're not flushable.
Yeah.
It's not. It's
I think
not,
our next, we might have to do an episode about like things that are actually scams.
Oh, yes.
Like, what's an actual scam?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think what we need to do on that one is not have the dialers dial in. I think we need to get like a consumer expert, like somebody who is in the business of scams, mm-hmm. and get them in to go through like the top 10 things that are just accepted by society that are total bullshit.
Ooh, we love
controversial.
That stuff.
That's controversial. That's like
calling people out.
Yeah, that's like, that'll get us in the top 10.
Or get us canceled by brands.
No. Yeah.
Hi, Hannah and Des.
Hi.
Love the pod. And first of all, I never hear your male audience unless it's one of the girlies' boys. And I'm not a girly, and I don't have a girly because I'm gay. But anyway, life hack for you. So if you're in the kitchen and you're cutting onions, if you wet a paper towel and you set it right next to your cutting board as you're cutting onions, you don't tear up anymore. I don't know the magic of it. I don't know the science behind it, but having the water in the paper towel, like right next to the cutting board, makes it so that you don't tear up anymore. I tell everyone that I know this and they all say thank you because they absolutely love that they don't tear up anymore. So I definitely recommend it. Anyway, thanks guys.
A domestic king.
Yeah, I thought this was like, this is a proper life hack. And I know you're Googling it now, but somebody else messaged in saying that if you wet the onion, it doesn't. So I feel like this could be, is this Chris?
So it says, it actually came up immediately in Google. I don't even have to finish typing it. The acidity from the onions gravitates towards the water. So
wow.
I guess
is it almost like when you're there, like the water from your eyes is getting pulled out to be torn? Like, why do you cry with the onion?
Oh, that I don't know. But, Hannah takes it to the next level. But, why do you cry with the onion?
I don't need answers to things. I just like
but this
wondering.
This is a great life hack because I don't know if some people are more susceptible than others, but like
it's
I
the
really,
worst feeling.
I tear up a lot when I'm cutting an onion.
When's the last time you cut an
Why do we
onion?
Cry?
When an onion is cut, certain compounds are released, causing nerves around the eyes to become irritated.
Do you know what I want to know a hack for? How your pee cannot smell after eating asparagus. Because I will have one bite of asparagus and my pee will reek for the whole day after like having one bite.
I know, but here's the thing. It doesn't matter. How many times you're not peeing around anybody?
I know,
it's
but
like
I just
it doesn't
feel,
matter.
I just feel like, why is that the one thing? It smells like I like literally consumed like 10 smoothies of asparagus or something. And I don't like the power it has over me.
Oh, right. Yeah. Cause it's only you that's smelling it. Like even recently I was like near the bathroom and you were like complaining about the smell of on your pee. And I was like, I was not smelling it. Like it's not an issue.
Imagine
if I was going to be concerned about anything, I'd be concerned about the smell of your poop. Okay, because that's really more of a communal issue.
Yeah, but that's normal. Like, I'm not, I no one like.
But it's also normal to have asparagus pee.
I feel like asparagus tricks you. They're like, oh, this tastes good and it's healthy, but we're gonna fucking make your pee smell like the worst thing I've ever smelled.
Yeah. Well, I just think this onion hack is great. This is a real
yes,
hack.
Yes, it is a good hack. I mean, when was the last time we've cut onions?
Well, I haven't cut an onion for a while. However, when I cut them, they do make me cry. But this isn't about me. This is about the dialers.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm happy that
you're right.
We're getting the info.
This like, is about.
I feel like of all the hacks, I'm not going to rate them, but this will be definitely top five real, like, change somebody's life, kind of like, wow, I never knew that, and wow. That's practical.
We're doing really important things today.
Yeah, this is real stuff. This is not just lighthearted entertainment. This is like life.
Hard-hitting journalism.
Yeah, this is it. Do we have any more?
One more.
Hi,
one
Hannah more. And Dez. Love you guys. Love Giggly Squad. Love Burner Phone. My life hack maybe isn't so profound, but I think a good way to save money and avoid pain is to use a trimmer on your pubes instead of a razor or getting a wax. And I personally, whenever I get a wax, still like get bumps and a rash no matter what for some reason. And I recently switched to a trimmer like men use on their balls. And it has saved me like the $80 that it costs to get a wax, and I don't break out. And it's honestly better than shaving too, because you don't get the razor burn. So highly recommend a trimmer for all the women out there who hate getting waxes and can't shave. Also men. I think they use trimmers already, but that's my life hack. Thank you.
This is really, really, really good. It also reminds me, like, a life hack is, for some reason, they make, like, women's razors for, like, your legs not as good as, like, a man's razor for his face.
You can't beat a Gillette Fusion.
Yeah, so I just buy men's razors, and I have a better shave. I mean, I don't shave as often as I should. But this is incredible, because waxing is the most horrible. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. I mean, there's always jokes that men will like get their chest waxed and like sob like it's the worst thing ever. It is the worst thing ever. And you think of how sensitive your skin is, like in your bikini line area, and someone's ripping hundreds of hairs out and burns. I've had it bleed before. Like I once got a wax that I was sweating so much from the pain that we had to stop for like 20 minutes so that I could stop profusely sweating. So I hate waxing. I get lasered.
I can't even take off a Band-Aid.
No, that is the ultimate comparison. Imagine how bad a Band-Aid hurts times that by 100. It's something, and I have a high pain tolerance, and I was like, I cannot live this life. And girls were doing it once a month. I would get in fights with the guy I was with because I'd be like, you don't even fucking deserve this. I'm doing it for you, and you don't even fucking know the kind of pain I'm going through. So I do highly recommend, if you don't want to do like the day-to-day stuff, to get laser, because it's a lot faster and not as painful at all. And use the one that has like the cold wind coming out. But anyway, this trimmer thing is game-changing because I haven't even thought about it.
But you don't get down to bald though with it though, right?
I think she's saying that you're using it like a razor. Like you're trimming down to the skin.
Yeah, like one of these Manscaped.
She said you don't even get, yeah. So I think this is smart because shaving does create bumps for me too. I have very sensitive skin and very thick hair.
Yeah, I also feel like, you know, I wish it would come into fashion, whatever about old school, like hairy pubic areas. I wish it would come into fashion, just trim it down to like nice and neat, but it doesn't have to be all the way down. Then you definitely won't get the bumps or the irritation.
Yeah, and also you want to feel sexy. What makes you feel sexy? But a lot of times you feel sexy based on what you think is trending.
Yeah.
What? If your pubic hair is cringe, you lean in.
Yeah.
And you don't let it stop you.
So that was a lot of hacks.
That was, honestly, I really loved this episode.
And we got through it too, which I'm surprised. But you know what it is? It's just like so many of them are just so interesting. You don't even need to add anything.
Yeah, and it's such a wide range. You guys, the dialers are doing so amazing. We're so obsessed with you guys. We love you so, so, so much.
Dialers, this was your episode.
This was your episode.
You guys carried this over the line.
You guys did it.
Yeah.
You guys did it. Make sure you rate, subscribe, review, check out our websites for shows coming up.
Yeah, come and see me in Chicago on New Year's Eve. Still tickets available.
And I just announced another Denver show and another Cincinnati show and a lot of other shows.
And come see me in Tempe, Arizona. All weekend. Tempe Improv.
And
January 4th to 6th.
Every Monday on our Instagram, we put the next prompt. So then keep an eye out. Make sure you follow us. We're going to have some good holiday prompts.
I guess we're going through the holidays, are we?
Yeah. And send us any prompts that you guys think will be good. You could also put it in the reviews.
We'll see that. You know, even if you wanted to send DM, though, actually don't send in prompts because it'll get lost in the mix. But if you want to DM things that you think are scams that are just like accepted in society, we'll start investigating. Yeah. But that'll be like in the DMs, Mia or Hannah's DMs.
But yeah, we have so much fun hearing your guys' cute, adorable little voices, and have an amazing rest of your day. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hi, Hannah. Hi, Des. This is Misty from Oklahoma City, repping the OKC Gigglers. Hannah, seeing you this past summer live made my whole entire life. And if you could please let Paige know that in addition to air conditioning, we also have central heat in Oklahoma. I just don't want her worrying about her OKC Gigglers through the cold months. Anyways, my life hack is don't put it down, put it away. I say this to myself at least 10 times a day. Don't put it down, put it away. Don't put my hairbrush down on top of the pile of clothes on the floor where I'm not going to be able to find it later. Put it back on my vanity. Don't put a cup on the dining room table. Just go ahead and put it away in the dishwasher. This has changed my life. It's helped my little ADHD brain so much. So I hope this can help somebody else. Don't put it down. Put it away.
Okay, this is the don't settle girl again. Sorry. Just two additional notes. Don't settle about parking tickets either. If you have a lot of parking tickets, the best way to get rid of them is to throw away your license plate. Get a new license plate. And all those tickets, red lights, are null because that license plate is no longer active. One more thing. When you're leaving a parking garage, if you don't want to pay the ticket, get out of your car, run to the other side of the kiosk, press the ticket, and typically the first hour is free. Okay, great. Don't ever settle for anything, especially those things too. Bye.
Hi, Hannah and Des. You guys are a perfect couple. Anyways, my life hack is that when I go to wash my face, I put a scrunchie on each wrist so that water doesn't dribble down my arm when I'm washing my face and splatter everywhere. That is the worst possible outcome to end your night when you're washing your face. So, yeah, that is my best life hack.
Hi, you guys. Hannah, I'm excited to see you in Jersey in March. My biggest life hack is to always ask for forgiveness, not permission. It worked when I got my belly button pierced when I was 16 without asking my parents. And it works when I eat coworkers' food in the break room. And it worked when I brought home my second, third, and fourth dog, two cats, and a hedgehog to my boyfriend. Like, people get a little bit angry, but they're never not going to forgive you. So always, always shoot for forgiveness. Fuck permission. Bye.